Let's pray. O God, in the words now to be spoken and heard, may your Spirit's truest, deepest words find their home in our hearts and awaken us. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Famous opening lines. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Call me Ishmael. 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, and the most famous of all, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The very first word of the book of Genesis, and so the Bible's very first sentence, and really, how else could it start but at the beginning? And the beginning was God creating. The story of the world doesn't begin with the world, but with God, who dreamed the world, dreamed galaxies, dreamed the cosmic fireworks show that was the Big Bang. None of it had to be. Humankind did not have to be. You can believe it if you like that behind everything is nothing at all but blind chance. But our faith is that behind all things is a fathomless love that is God. Did you know that in all of Scripture, the verb create is reserved for use only by God? What humans do is assign the word to make. But to create, this comes only from the power of the love of God. A striking thing about the story in Genesis is that God does not create out of nothing. Something's already there. Something already created, but that must be now dealt with before the truly good news of creation can begin. In this account, this poem, because that's what it is, a poem. In it, the earth is already there, only in a very different condition. We read, the earth was without form and void. Formless earth, shapeless, void, empty. The Hebrew words can be translated, the earth was an emptiness, a futility, or the earth was disordered, chaotic, without meaning. More vividly, we're told that all is covered with vast, endless waters raging in darkness. This is what's meant by the deep when we're told, and darkness covered the face of the deep. John Milton in Paradise Lost described it this way: the vast, immeasurable abyss, outrageous as a sea, dark, wasteful, wild, turned by furious winds and surging waves and mountains to surging waves as mountains to assault heaven's height. The scene describes something scary, threatening, a fearsome chaos. So the story that begins with God begins also with fathomless chaos in total darkness. Read on. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. In the pitch black darkness, God's breath, wind, Spirit moves upon the deep. The Hebrew verb also means God's Spirit hovered or brooded over the waters. This word was used elsewhere in the Bible of a mother bird brooding over her young with hovering wings. The scene is eerie and it's wonderful. Here is this raging emptiness and absolute darkness, and above it a breathing, brooding love. It's the beginning of the best possible news. And when the breakthrough comes, when the great changing begins, how does it happen? God speaks. God speaks. That is all. Who knows how long the Spirit broods, but at last is uttered the word from God, "Let there be light." And there it was. Light. There were certainly other ancient Near Eastern creation stories, but in them the gods made the world by doing something hands-on, most often by killing some other great being and using the parts of its body to make the world and the sky. In the Genesis creation story, God needs to do nothing at all. And certainly there is no violence in creating. All God needs is to speak a word, to utter the divine, "Let it be." One poet has imagined God needing even less than a word. Listen to James Weldon Johnson from God's Trombones. "And God stepped out on space, and God looked around and said, 'I'm lonely. I'll make me a world.' And as far as the eyes of God could see, darkness covered everything, blacker than 100 midnights down in a cypress swamp. And then God smiled, and the light broke. And the darkness rolled up on one side, and the light stood shining on the other, and God said, 'That's good.'" In Johnson's poem, it's not God's word, but God's smile that makes the light. Nice. Not scripture, but really nice. But he does return to the Bible's account when he says, "The darkness rolled up on one side and the light stood shining on the other." Because in the story, God doesn't destroy darkness, only separates it, calling the darkness night and calling the newborn light day. God honors and values and loves both dark and light, only puts each of them in their place. And the same with God's creation of dry ground. God keeps the land and the sea, only divides them, sets for each of them limits. Isn't this the nature of life in our own experience? We You and I were never meant to live only in light or only on the solid ground of security and calm. All of it is the Creator's boundary design. That's good news for us who were under the impression that we must put every scary thing out of our sight, or stamp it out, or beat our fists against the walls that so much is unsettled in our lives and everywhere else. Shall we despair that the parts we don't like won't all just go away? Or shall we let God keep speaking light to where the light should be, and let God give the dark its place and hover within it and show us the boundaries of it and lead us to the good and livable rhythms and the balance that is the Creator's gift? Problem, of course, is that the chaos, the emptiness, meaninglessness seem to have the greater presence and the greater power. It's everywhere. Everywhere on the planet, everywhere in ourselves. The terrible dark, the horrible downward pull of the abyss. And here's the question on which everything depends. And I'll ask it in the question made by Frederick Buechner. Did or does the Spirit of God move over the face of the turbulent waters of our age? Is the God who created us brooding over our dark? The good news, dear friends, is that the Creator has not finished creating. In the Psalms, there's a prayer, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." And many of us know in our own experience, it's a prayer that love can answer. More than once in the Scriptures, there is singing of a new creation. The old is passed away, all things are made new. Where there was death, sorrow, awful confusion, broken relationships, shattered hope, the Creator will speak and is speaking now. Let there be light. Let there be newborn life. Do you hear the tone of those creating words? The tone is without force or even command. There's more of an openness in it, something like a freedom. There is joy in it. Can you hear it? Something like an invitation. The Creator doesn't say there must be light. The Creator says, let there be. And perhaps our voices could echo that voice and make it our prayer. Let it be. God is not finished creating the world. God hasn't finished creating you or us. And didn't you hear us sing it ourselves just a few minutes ago? Praise with elation. Praise every morning God's recreation of a new day.